It's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, January 10th, 2014. This is Sally Baptist speaking, and thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. Today we've got quite a few people coming in. We have several guests. I really have been doing way too much today. Let me try that again. We have three guests tonight. We have a busy show tonight. So I'm going to cut back on my rant, and it's probably a good thing since I can't seem to talk anyway. But before we do that, the call-in number is 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. Otherwise, we do not bother you. And the other is that you can always join the chat room. Chat room wasn't working a couple weeks back, but it seems to be up and running these days, so feel free to join the chat room. Now, as I was saying, we have three guests up tonight, so we're going to have a lot to talk about. So my rant is going to be short and to the point. I'm sure most of you heard about what's going on with the illegal immigration of children. This is King Obama using children to put the final nail in the coffin of this country. When are we going to put an end to what this dictator is doing? Do any of these people in Congress have a clue what that Constitution is? Do they have a clue what the oath of office that they took and the oath of office of that king over there in the White House is doing, king, dictator, whichever you want to call him? When are we going to put an end to this insanity? What is going on with these kids is absolutely, it's so un-American. And it's so against the welfare of this country. He is destroying this country, and the American people are just sitting here watching, letting him do it. It's so disgusting. And so I'm going to wrap it up on that for tonight, because like I say, I know we've got quite a few, we've got three guests coming up and not much time for me to rant. So on that note, Karen and John, it is your turn.
Hi there, everyone, and you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, excuse my hoarse voice, on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, and that is every Tuesday from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio, and please look for the time switch, because now it is on Wednesday at 2, on Friday at 4, and Sunday at 4. So please check redstatetalkradio.com, tell your friends, tell everyone, and we thank you this evening for joining us. And Sally, to answer your rant, how dare you, it is an act of love.
Yeah, right.
Thank you,
the American
Jeb Bush.
People.
Yeah.
What's the matter? Don't you love the children? Don't you love them?
I love America.
Love. Well, that's the problem, and that is really the crux. And Americans, they're not feeling enough pain yet, and we're going to start seeing lots and lots and lots and lots of these murders going on in where, of course, school, because we have to protect the children. When he first said that today, I thought he meant, I was like, oh my God, isn't that wonderful? He's gonna resign from office so we can protect the children.
No such luck.
Then in reality set in, and I said, no such luck. We're stuck. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We really are stuck unless we, the people, do something about it. And that was a lesson learned by me today, because I had a conversation with the aide of my congressman, who really is not a bad person. The problem is the misinformation is so incredible that a lot of times they get sucked up in these lies. And I said, don't you listen to the people. Well, if you don't talk to them, you can't listen to them. That's the problem. But we really need to replace what is in our legislature right now. And kudos to the people in Virginia. God bless every single one of you that lives in Eric Cantor's district, because I think you have kicked him to the curb. And that is wonderful news. Only 59% of the precincts are reporting right now, so they will not call anything. But what a coup that would be. What do you think about that, John?
Well, I hope you're right, Karen, but, you know, one of the things about these lifelong career politicians is that the important precincts, if the election remains close, if he falls behind by a significant number or can even be forced into a runoff, is the key. But the bottom line for Eric Cantor is he spent a ton of money. And that's what we're seeing all across the nation with these career tyrants, is they have large purses, they have large contributors, corporations that want to see them in power and that are willing to spend millions and millions of dollars for these congressional seats, senatorial seats. And we are living in a captured nation. There is no free Republican form of government in America. Our president operates totally outside of the constitutional constraints. We have a Congress that's not willing to exercise the rights and the freedoms that they are granted in the Constitution. We have a separation of powers, and if they're willing to lay down with each other and not to take any action, when a president takes the actions that Barack Obama has to clearly violate the law, he's a lawless president. And if, you know, so I guess we're all captive in a nation of liars, huh? And that's what we're looking at. But I hope you're right. I hope Eric Cantor does get defeated, and boy, that would be a coup.
That is, I mean, that to me would, especially after he came out with his immigration policy of why don't we give everybody amnesty program.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So I think this is a clear message, especially from Virginia, which is kind of purple instead of really red. But mm-hmm. I think the issues now are going to force Americans to come together as Americans, because what they're doing with the immigration, it does not matter what color, what ethnicity, what religion, what sexuality you are going to, you feel you will be entitled to, you will get nothing. Period. Finished. End of story. We're going to have generations of people who are going to be subservient and in debt. Period.
They
own everything.
That's exactly right, dear. And we are losing a constitutional republic, and that is the issue. That's what this is about. This is not about anything but creating a larger voting base for these progressive politicians, and that's what you have. You know, when you have the establishment Republicans that are against constitutional Americans, and that's exactly what the Tea Party is and the Patriot Movement is all about. Americans who are aware that their Constitution is being destroyed, that politicians aren't operating inside of its guidelines, that the judiciary is failing us. They are issuing edicts and mandates through the court that because they are subservient to the very politicians that allow them to be seated. We have a right to impeach judges. We have a right to impeach a president and not to take any action. And they are not taking any action against a lawless man. He clearly broke a law that slapped them in the face, along with the American people. he blatantly slapped Congress in the face and said, I don't need to tell you anything.
That's right. I will
do what I choose. I am Barack Obama. And no, folks, that is not the case. He had a lawful requirement, and he broke it. But, I mean, it's not the first time for this guy.
No. Not at all. And this is more evident of a whole lot of things. This is just evident of massive, massive disregard. To me, he reminds me of some Obama I'm talking about, of somebody working in the scorched earth policy. I see my programs aren't working. I really don't care. But if I'm going to have to leave, I'm going to make sure that it's bad for everybody. Everything.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see as many things as I can do to mess up everything, because we thrive on chaos. And that's
what this nation has been through with this president. You know, we've gone from one scandal after the other, one chaotic event after the other. And the media plays right along with it. The media gives them a couple of pieces.
Eric Cantor has been defeated. I'm sorry, this came in on the scroll.
Excellent.
I left it in on purpose. Eric Cantor has been defeated by Tea Party-backed challenger in the Republican primary.
Excellent.
Oh, my God. That is huge.
That is very big. Wonderful news. Wonderful. Hey, and all I can say, folks, is this is exactly what has to take place. Well, we have been saying now for years, we've got to kick them all out. These establishment candidates with all their money and everything that they're throwing at this cannot beat the American people if we turn out at the polls. That is our answer to this tyranny. Turn out and vote them out. Thank God.
Oh,
great
that,
for
this
Virginia.
This made my day.
Yeah.
And, ladies and gentlemen, I have been placed, not just the agendas, but Karen Schoen by herself has been placed on the extreme to watch list by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Excellent. Good for you.
Wonderful? I'm so excited.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yes.
That's excellent.
I believe in that conspiracy theory of Agenda 21, sustainable development, and I believe that it's going to take over private property. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, and did they, when they put you on this list, Karen, they notified you that you were put on the list?
No.
How did you get this information?
Somebody sent me a magazine that they apparently send out, which is their e-magazine, and there I was with my little picture, little old me.
Excellent.
Think about that. I went, and they said, Karen Schoen, founder of the Agendas, and, you know, all about what the organization was about and what we believed. And I said, my God, isn't this wonderful publicity?
Well, did they say it? Did you check the fact base for the truth about who you are? Or are they spreading lies?
They quoted my own words, which is exactly right, except in the last part they left out the last sentence, because I said that if we want to get back to a real education, we should eliminate the computer. And then my end of the sentence was, because computers are a class, not a lifestyle. And they left that part out.
Well, they're good at changing context.
So I'm a kook for, you know, saying that we should get rid of the computers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way it reads. And that is their game. They twist and turn the context of whatever that we do say. And you have to be guarded, but the one thing is no, speak the truth and let it fall where it may. And man, I'm really proud of you.
I'm
falling behind. I've never made a list like that.
Oh, John. Well, you have as the agendas because we have been on there. And the good thing is last year when they put us on there, I said, we're number one because they must have did the list alphabetically and the agendas were first on the list. So I sent out an email to everybody and I said, look, we're number one. Isn't that wonderful? So that was really good.
Well, I guess we need to do a little digging into them so that we can publicize just exactly who finances the Southern Poverty Law Center. And maybe people would be interested. Always follow the money, folks. Always, always follow
them. And this is the group that goes after all of the schools the minute they say God in anything. They go after people. They do all of those anti-American or amoral, I guess I should say, or, you know, their rights of some group, they're very, like, social justice.
Exactly. That is their game. They are the protectors of the social justice movement, so therefore we know exactly what they are. They're a communist front group, and they're meant to shut and try to quiet the people that are sharing the truth. That's their purpose and intent. So, man, I'm proud of you to make the list.
Yes, I'm proud of us. We made it again, so that was really great. We're doing our job.
Yep.
We are absolutely doing our job, and that's what That's why doing this show and everything else is so important, folks. Look at this, a win with Eric Cantor. That was huge. He just came out yesterday and spoke about how important it was to have all of these illegal children come into the country. I guess this was the way people feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what legislation is it that allows that, Karen?
Yeah, I missed that class.
Well,
in the Constitution.
There is none
that
that's exactly right. No, we are supposed to protect our sovereignty, and we've got an executive branch that says, I'm not too concerned about you. I really need a strong voter base.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The Republicans who want to build their workforce at cheap labor,
yeah,
and the Democrats who want to build their votes.
Human collateral.
And on, yes. And on that note,
yes,
and on that note, yes, that's right.
And we have a perfect lead-in for Christine, because Christine Timmons, a wonderful friend, you know, John, and Christine,
yes,
did an incredible amount of research and spoke to, and I will let her tell you, all about the illegals that are flooding South Florida.
The invasion.
So Christine, hello.
How are you doing? I am so happy to be on this line with you tonight. First of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on your show. It's shows like yours. That's what when the liberal media fails us with their left-wing propaganda, like what I just heard you say about Eric Cantor. Now,
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, he's just a lovely guy. I love him. So what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about the other side of when you allow these immigrants to come to America. I don't know if anyone knows or not, since Fox and CNN failed to report this, the FBI staged a massive raid on South Florida about 2 weeks ago, and they were looking for the Medicare fraud people. And basically what they're saying, I will read some of it, I quote, 90 individuals charged nationally for submitting approximately $260 million in fraudulent billing. South Florida responsible for more than $65,701,885 in false billings. And the story was by Jay Weaver, Mimi Whitefield, and Jacqueline Charles. Now, the first paragraph says, Oscar L. Sanchez, a Cuban immigrant with little education, helped revolutionize Miami Medicare racket through a storefront check cashing business that enabled various criminals to launder $63 million from the United States through a web of overseas accounts in Cuba's national bank. FBI agents and prosecutors are trying to figure out who received the money in Cuba. Medicare fraud fugitives, other criminals, government officials, or all of the above.
Whoa.
It says here that this defendant Sanchez is accused of conspiring with a syndicate of international money launderers that use fraudulent Medicare profits as collateral to pay South Florida healthcare scammers cash and also move money into Cuba's banking system to hide it. You say, what drove this underground banking syndicate? Since the 1990s, and I quote to you, waves of Cuban immigrants have learned myriad ways to fleece the taxpayer-funded health care program for the elderly and disabled. Meanwhile, about 150 suspects have fled back to the communist island and other parts of Latin America to evade prosecution, according to the FBI and court records. And they're saying, once this money winds up in the Cuban banks, it's like a black hole of no return. And they're telling you that the Cuban government efforts really extort the criminals who go back and forth between South Florida and the islands. But he also, Mr. Gomez is saying, he believes that Sanchez's case shows that Cuba has been directly involved in the money laundering of Medicare millions. And they end by telling you about the HIV stuff. It says, among the findings, dozens of clinics and doctors bill Medicare for more than $1.1 million in false claims for obsolete HIV infusion therapy for one single Miami-Dade County patient who collected thousands of dollars in kickbacks after selling his government-issued health care card number to them. The patient, Alexander McCray, who has a history of drug possession arrest, used the taxpayer-funded proceeds for his crack cocaine habit. And the final paragraph says, this series shows that 36 Medicare fraud defendants, mostly Cuban immigrants, who had come here during the past 15 years, have fled South Florida to Cuba, Mexico, Dominican Republic, according to, including brothers Carlos and Luis Benitez. Boy, what a story. And that's just the beginning. Had you people heard about this?
No.
Not at all.
Okay, here's what you do. It's really easy. Google FBI Arrest 90 South Florida Medicare Scam, and you will get link after link. I sat up to 6 o'clock in the morning with near tears looking at what's happening, and every time we look up, Eric Cantor or somebody like him is saying that it's time for Medicare reform. And we have told them over the years, you cannot reform Medicare unless you stop some of this fraud. And, of course, they never listen to the people. They don't listen to us. They go ahead and do these feel-good things. Now, I don't know what he's talking about the Cuban, the immigrant children. The only thing I can tell you is under the U.S. Constitution, the United States government itself has absolutely no authority to bring even one person to this country. They have not got that authority. That authority under the Constitution rests with the state. The only thing the United States and Congress is supposed to do is set a system of prohibiting the states from bringing them. And Article 4, Section 4 says they're supposed to protect each state from invasion. Article 1, Section 9 truly gives all immigration and importing persons to the states. Now, the feds, they do have, under Article 1, Section 8, Congress has the power to naturalize uniformly. But when they say naturalize, you have to already be an immigrant or to be naturalized. They can't just do what they're doing here in South Florida. The Secretary of Election, she's taking in scores of people who are immigrants. We don't even know who they are. They're some invaders, and they give them little classes on becoming naturalized, and then they go into federal court, and then sign up as U.S. as the U.S. citizens and Democrats. So all of these things that are being done under our U.S. Constitution, you really can't do things like that. So we're hoping that some of the conservatives in the House and Senate, should we get the lead of Republicans, recognize that you really are not going to solve the immigration problem by the federal government continuing to bring people here, because once they get here, the first thing they want to do is start marauding and stealing, just like what they're doing. Now, last year, it was the Haitians and the Jamaicans. They are the leaders in IRS fraud. They did the same kind of raid last year for IRS, and once again, the seat of the IRS fraud lies in Florida with the Haitians and the Jamaicans and the ID theft. When the FBI went through this, what they just did, that's where you're finding a lot of your ID theft is coming from, the medical concern. See, they come here and go to our school. They go to our school and learn how to get into the clinics. It only takes about 6 or 7 months to a year, and you're in there. Once they get in, all your ID is gone. They just don't. It's like I've always told people, if someone is begging you, only give them something once. If you give a beggar something more than one time, then you're going to encourage that person to steal, and that's exactly what's happening. Now, let's look at who may be involved in some of this Medicare scamming and stuff that has been going on. I call it economic terrorism, and the reason I call it economic terrorism is because when the individual citizen might steal $2 or $3 million, but this, according to the FBI, some of this stuff is organized. You should read these stories. Google what I told you. You will see it's organized. When it's organized like that, now you're talking RICO. Now you're talking actual economic terrorism because they're trying to bankrupt an entitlement program. That's terrorism. That's terrorist, and that's the way I'm looking at this, and I'm asking if we did get a House and Senate worth a quarter next year, they need to deputize every local and state police officer as federal agents so we can get a handle on this and get the country back. Now, some of the people who might not be as vehement about this as us is, of course, our Governor Rick Scott. Governor Rick Scott, he is the number one economic terrorist for Medicare.
Yes.
His company, Columbia ACA,
more.
I was with the 104th Congress working on welfare reform when they took him down, his company, Columbia ACA. They paid that $2 billion. Rick Scott, when he left away from Columbia ACA, he walked out of there with tens, hundreds, some people say it was over $350 million. And all this is from stealing from Medicare and Medicaid and Blue Cross, all the insurance companies. Then Marco Rubio, he is the one who started this mess. When he went to D.C., the first thing he did was got with Robert Menendez, one of the worst Democrats there. This was in the newspaper. It said that Menendez told him to proselytize as many Republican senators as possible into this gang of eight and to pass this immigration bill. Ever since then, there has been an immigrant uprising in the state, in the United States of America. And now the FBI is once again saying that these uprisings have culminated in all of this IRS and Medicare fraud, but they say the Cubans have been doing this since the 1990s. You know, they were boat lifted over here. When you look at how the Cubans actually came to America and you look at what just happened in the Dominican Republic, you got to understand their citizenship is not even legal under the Constitution. Just to be honest with you, in the past 20, maybe 30 years, the citizenships are not worth the papers written on because the United States Constitution requires that you be a resident of a state first, and then you become naturalized after you've been registered by that state and that information has been turned in to the United States government. Nowadays would be the INS. You pay whatever your state fees or whatever, and you have a state work visa, then you apply to be a citizen. That's the way they did it until about 40 years ago. Nowadays, like I say, in order to get these votes, the Democrats, it's not the Republicans right now, the Democrats I know in Broward County, the election officials are taking in scores of people in the U.S. District Court and just register them as citizens. That, you can't do that. So what they just revoked the citizenship of about 500,000 Haitians retroactive to 1929. What they're saying is they never were citizens in the first place, so any child born from that is not a citizen either. Well, the same thing goes for the Cubans. In the same report I read, that's what the writer said, that the same thing could happen to the Cubans. Now, I will tell you, the same thing could and should happen to every one of them, at least in the past 20 years, because their citizenship really is invalid under the U.S. Constitution. So, you know, there's other things about Marco Rubio starting this uprising. It's absolutely awful. And then Rick Scott, he's also, we got legislative terrorism in Florida, too. They went to Tallahassee, and they terrorized the Tallahassee legislators into putting their criminals in our courts, talking about some law in our, they in our courts as lawyers, and they're giving them all of our college tuition money. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's legislative terrorism. See, what they did, the Republicans are on their knees trying to get one or two votes from them. But then I have been calling around. I have found out only a few Republicans, just enough to pass the bill, actually did this. And they did it because of Rick Scott. So Rick Scott, Governor Rick Scott, he is the one behind giving them that tuition. He is the one behind putting these people in our courts. And he should have known that the FBI was going to pull that raid, because when you read the story, it tells you that Pam Bondi and the leader of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement was in it. There's no way they could have done that without Rick Scott
knowing
it. So he knew that this stuff was going to happen, and he did this to us anyway, even though 91% of the citizens of Florida said that they didn't want to admit the Democrats didn't like it either. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, as I said, in order to bring this under control, we need to go back to power to the states and deputize all law enforcement officers, cut off all federal funding to non-citizens because you can't do it under the Constitution, and if they don't like it, we go to martial law. We need to stop feeding their criminals and clothing and feeding their kids, you know, because this is not coming out to be no good. This is all coming to a no-good end. And the one thing I was real happy about, though, I was happy that it wasn't the black Americans and it wasn't the white Americans who are instrumental in this mess. It's the browns, the Cubans, Latinos, Hispanics, and the Mexicans, and the Haitians, and the Jamaicans. So it's not us Americans. 80-90% of all this high-tech crime, IRS, Medicare, if it's crime, it's a whole lot of it. They're doing it. They're doing it. And I say to you, we should not let 12 million little invaders overrun a country of almost 400 million Americans. How are we going to do that? We're going to let 12 million people just ugly us out of existence.
That's right.
We can't do that. We have got to fight this tooth and nail. And I know my time's about up here, and I'm getting wound up, as you can plainly see.
Well, we will have you back
again,
love
it, Christine.
Yeah,
because
well, you
this
know,
is
we,
not
going to
be a problem that's
going to
be solved tomorrow, and we've got to come up with solutions because the criminals
Winky.
Have left Tallahassee, and there's going to be an election, and a bad decision can be overturned with the right people.
Let's hope so. Archbishop Winsky, he's another one who's supporting this mess. Every week he got something in the newspaper talking about how great the immigrants are, and they got businesses, this, that, and the other. But how did they get businesses? They came here from the jungles with no money, thank and hungry. We gave them all the money that they got. They got it from the American citizens. There was a lot of people in the state of Florida who needed $15,000 to $20,000 to start a business, but they didn't get it, did they? And now Cardinal Archbishop Winsky, he talking about they got a heritage here. They don't have no heritage here. The only people that got a heritage in America is the American white man and the American black man. The rest of them ain't got nothing because that's who built this country. Two white men and two black men, Tom Edison, Graham Bell. The black men was Granville T. Wood, Elijah McCoy, then the car manufacturers, and Westinghouse, GE, and all them. The first four, they're the ones that did all the electronic, all this technology. They ain't never invented nothing. There's nothing ever been invented in no Spanish language. So why should we need to be dragging them here? Well, they're a bunch of dummies as far as I'm concerned. Like I say, I don't feel like letting a bunch of
jungle bunnies
come
here
and take
over. Christine, the good part is you're right. You're absolutely right. And after today, I think the people are getting it. I'm so proud of everybody, and I really think that they're beginning to maybe get their heads on straight, and maybe we'll get in contact of the other criminals that are running for office and put them on notice and do the same thing.
Everything you talked about, Christine, in Florida, and that's the one thing I'd like to interject, everything that you're talking about with immigration in Florida is taking place across the entire United States. When
we're
look
being
at our
terrorized.
We're being terrorized.
That's Article 4, Section 4. It says United States shall protect each state from invasion. And instead, they're letting us be terrorized.
That's what we're invaders. And you know
what's so bad about this? It's like when you watch a science fiction movie, the spaceship lands, and they said, we can't take over these people. This is a big metropolis. So one of them say, yes, we can. We'll sell them all drugs for about 20 years, get them hooked on drugs, put the money in the banks, and then we'll spend more money on their legislators to write laws so we can just walk across their borders and we'll take over in about 20 or 30 years. That's what they've done. This is stupid as heck. If we was watching a science fiction movie, you couldn't do this. The people would be saying, well, why is this country letting this happen? Understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
This is
absolutely
really, really terrible that America is being invaded. It's what you call a coup d'etat. You know what a coup d'etat is?
Yes,
ma'am.
When
you just take over a country and ain't hit nobody, you just stupid them out of existence. That's what they're doing. That's
yes,
what if we're putting up with all these federal laws. As far as I'm concerned, I won't even say it. I ain't going to say the W word. I'm not going to say that word. But I am so sick and tired of seeing the heritage that belongs to the white people and the black people. We invented everything. They trying to take our heads and give it to some dummies. These people are dumb people. Do you hear me? If anything breaks down, they won't know how to fix it because they never invented anything. So
that's
they don't
right.
have no business being no leaders here and no America. Absolutely not.
Yeah, the thing I was thinking of today is that the programs, the plans, they will never work because the minute they begin to work, then the people who are putting the plans in place aren't needed anymore. So they have to keep on changing them. They have to keep on making them so that they won't work because the minute they start working, people won't need the government anymore and they'd be out of a job. So they make
and the minute they start
schemes,
doing this,
knowing they'll
then
never
they
work.
Start stealing. You know it's what the FBI said. The FBI say this has been going on since the 90s. And it's
been
going on longer than that.
Yeah, I think so too, Christine. It's longer than that. And here's the thing. It is allowed by the federal government. We have a federal government
that
is not.
You know who did that? You know who did it? You need to listen a minute. That was done. You remember when the Democrats run the country for 40 years? They did.
Yes.
They wrote all of these laws. Now, what's happening with the Republicans is they haven't had the House and Senate since the 90s when they reformed welfare. Because you remember, I helped them to do that. Now, when they had the House and Senate, they started working on immigration then. But they haven't had the House and Senate since then. So that's why we might be lucky if we can get the House and Senate again and don't have them sissies like Eric Cantor and Paul Ryan in there, get some of them strong Republican leaders in there, we might can see some results. That's what you've got to understand.
Yes.
I know the federal government's doing it, but you got to understand which federal government. And guess what else you got to do? You got to close the federal courts. That's Article 3, Section 1.
Every single one of the federal courts, absolutely.
It says that a Congress has the power to ordain and establish the inferior courts from time to time. So there's no such thing as a lifetime judge. We got to send every one of these active judges home, in district, in appellate court. Then we have the people under Article 2, Section 2, the last paragraph, the people in the circuits, in the districts can vote them in for 8 years. And if you show out within that 8 years, then you'll stand scrutiny. See, now they don't stand no scrutiny. That's why they do all this stuff to the people, make up all these crazy federal laws, and they are not afraid of the Supreme Court. They are not. You know why? Because they know the appeals court knows that the Supreme Court can only take about one case every 2,000 cases. So who you going to tell? So you got thousands of appeal judges writing what they want to write. But another thing I have told them they need to do, establish an interim appeal court after you go to the final appeals court. Now there'll be another one in every district that have the same power as the Supreme Court but still would be an inferior court. So when the appeals court do all that crap, this time somebody going to be able to take you to another court for your decision. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to do this wrong because they don't have anywhere to take this. So if we have at least one, maybe two, interim appeals court or appellate oversight court, oversight court. See, I know what I'm talking about. Then
just
a new court established. That's what these are all the things that got to be done.
Yeah, Christine, have you looked at or seen anything about citizen grand juries?
Well, I've seen a little something about it, but not enough because, see, right now what I'm focusing on, U.S. Congress, because in 1994 to 1996, I was the number one active in the U.S. Congress, and I showed them how to reform welfare. I'm hoping that I'll be able to help them, because there's 11 clauses in the U.S. Constitution that lets them return this stuff back to the state, and the states can still invite people. There's people still going to come to America, but you won't be coming, you know, the way they're coming now, where you have all these rights to invade us and take all of our programs, because you won't be able to get in a program unless you are a citizen. That's what I'm trying to work on now. If I can just get me one good congressperson, I believe that we have some chance of straightening out this country, going back to the Constitution. As I say, the federal court got to go.
Some of these judges are committing criminal acts.
Yes.
Oh,
Sally,
yeah.
Did our other guests arrive?
Okay.
Yes, your other guest. It has been a pleasure, as always.
And
we will bring you back again, and certainly to talk more about the Constitution. And we will find a congressman, because in view of what's going on now, there will be some people that will be able to, A, understand the Constitution, that do understand it. They're actually going to Congress, and they know what the Constitution said. So that is absolutely wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us, everyone. This is Christine Timmons, and she is down in South Florida, and we'll have you back again.
Okay, I'm going to put you on speaking now and finish listening to the show.
Thank you. And if you have anything to say, please let us know. Yes.
Okay, Karen. And thanks, John. It's so good to hear your voices tonight. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Two callers are out there wanting to comment, but our guest is here, so you let me know when you're ready to take a couple calls.
Okay, thank you. And we'll take a couple of calls in a few minutes after the break. Everyone, I wanted you to meet Art Alley. And Art is, Art, I'm going to let you tell everyone exactly who you are and what you're doing and the website where they can find you. And welcome to the show.
Well, Karen, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You're coming in loud and strong.
All right. Well, so was Christine. Well, I enjoyed listening to that passion.
She is wonderful, and I have learned so much from her in the work that she has done with immigration and tying it to the Constitution, which, unfortunately, our legislators have no idea about.
The Constitution is almost been dissolved, unfortunately, and I think she knows that. Yeah.
The idea is to help get the right people back in office and be an eye-opener, and that's what you're doing, that's what we're doing, but a large portion of that, I'm afraid, has to come from other avenues, not just ourselves, like the churches, like the schools, because if we don't correct what's going on there, it's the culture that's being destroyed.
Well, you have that right for sure. Well, what we're doing is trying to do three things. Number one, I mean, Christine was right. And if we need to go to a break, just give me a heads up. We are, in fact, Christine, you need to go to the website, GiveMeLibertyTour.com. We are barnstorming the state of Florida from Pensacola to Miami, back and forth. Every weekend, we are having a rally in a different church every Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night to try to wake up we the people, because this was established as a land of we the people, and the several sovereign states who had total autonomy except for the 17 specific powers the Constitution gave a federal government, not 17,000.
Yeah.
So the plan is, first and foremost, we are attempting to change the landscape from political to biblical. America was formed on biblical principles. We have turned our back on the God of creation, and we are now worshiping a humongous federal government. that is totally out of control, and I don't believe it can be fixed.
I agree.
What I think it's going to take, if there is any hope, and you know, I'm in the financial business, have been for 35 years. I know how close we are to economic disaster in this land. No country has ever done what we've done and come out of it without severe consequences.
Yeah.
But the Give Me Liberty Tour, we've got some of the, premier voices in America coming to Florida each weekend to help us put on these events and to try to awaken the citizens of Florida to how close we are coming to total tyranny in this land. And that's the real issue. We get hung up on Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, black, white, Hispanic. The real danger in America right now is tyranny versus liberty.
That's
what's at stake, and we are about to lose it all.
Yes.
So if any of the listeners would like to go to the website, givemelibertytour.com, go to the calendar, you will see where we have scheduled these various events, and we are holding them in churches. But we're holding them in churches as community events. The entire community is invited. And they are going to get totally educated on how close we are to totally losing the liberty we all hold so dear in this land.
Sure.
I think one of my purposes in all of this, just to give you a little hint, is to establish a permanent infrastructure based on biblical principles found in the book of Nehemiah. In every precinct in this state, and there are over 6,200 precincts, to have teams of Bible-believing Christians, not Republicans, Democrats, although I'm sure very few of them will be Democrats, Bible-believing Christians who will engage their neighbors to get them to understand that they have to register to vote because half the church is not even registered to vote.
Absolutely.
We're going to equip them with the material to hand out to their neighbors, and they're not going to have to worry about anything but their neighborhood. Get them to register to vote. Help them understand they do have to have a voice in America, right or wrong. You have to register for one of the two major parties. Otherwise, you are frozen out of the primary, which is where we lose our best candidates.
Yes.
So we're going to be encouraging them to register, and then we're going to encourage them to go vote for Bible-believing, not politically motivated, self-serving candidates. If the Lord does not build the house, we are laboring in vain. We have to get back to the biblical principles upon which this nation was founded. And if we can do that, and if we can elect in the state of Florida a solid leadership team from the governor to the state legislature that will tell Washington, D.C. that they have no right under the Constitution. You know, some states are talking about secession. I don't see how that can work.
No, it didn't work.
If it would, I'd move to the state, believe me. But we still have a Constitution. The Constitution is the law of the land, even though it's being ignored. And if we have the right leadership team in Tallahassee to draw a line in the sand and tell the federal government they have no constitutional authority or moral right to do 99% of what they think they have the power and authority to do, not under the Constitution.
Can we hold on for one moment, please, because I'm getting some feedback. So, people, if you're on a phone and you're listening by phone, please mute yourself until we call for callers, because I'm getting some feedback there. Thank you.
Okay. So, anyway, that's the plan. We have every weekend pretty well booked. We still have a few openings that haven't been booked yet between now and the end of October. Let me ask you a question, Art. I've got a question because I think that you have a wonderful solution. It's a solution that a lot of Americans share with you. But are you doing anything on the national front to expand your organization to other states?
There are things going on in other states, but if this happens in Florida, we could very well become the model for the other states to follow. There are good people in leadership position all over this country. The problem, and there's a lot of good governors, the problem is, including with our governor, they are in bed with Washington, D.C. They are taking the money, the bribery money, to go along with these national policies, thinking they're helping the people of their state. But the more you encourage Washington, the more you go along with them, the closer we come to losing it all and going over the edge. And once you get past the point of no return, you can't bring it back. You know, our governor is supporting Common Core, a total disaster. You know, he took the money for Medicare and in order to get the Obamacare here. We need a governor that will just say no and do it. He's going to have a steel backbone because they're not going to accept this very well. But with the
may I stop you there for 1 second because we are in agreement on that one. And everybody, Charlie Crist is not an option either.
No,
so
he's
at this
not.
Point, I would say please go to the website of Adrian Wiley and check him out and see if his values fit yours. There are choices in Florida. Do not feel that making the lesser of two evils, let's remember it's still evil.
That's what
and,
drove
us.
That's
we don't have
mouthful.
To do that anymore. There are other choices. Art, I couldn't agree more, and it's so disheartening to see and listen to the people that are running in office and the Republicans telling me when I tell them, you know, no Common Core. Oh, we don't have Common Core in Florida anymore, Karen. We have Florida state standards.
They are exactly the same thing.
Well,
in the state of Oklahoma, just fell for the same thing.
Right. Delete and replace was the only key that you used to make that program. So I couldn't agree more, Art. You are so right, and it's so refreshing to hear the churches getting involved. That is just fantastic.
That's who we are as Americans.
Yes.
That is our heritage. You know,
exactly.
that is who we are, and that's the definition of your movement, Art. It's an American movement. Where, you know, this nation was founded on divine principle, not the principles of man. We used our God and our Creator as a guide for our Constitution. And that's where the power rests with our Constitution, and that is the only way. And I'm excited that you're doing it precinct by precinct because that's what has to happen. We have to reform and take our government back to the local citizen. It's our duty. It's a civic duty that we have to. I don't see any other mechanism for restoration until we enlighten every citizen and every precinct across this nation to understanding the God-given principles that created this nation, and only when we restore that will we have any opportunity for restoration at all.
Hey, man, I got a couple of openings for speakers. You just got an invitation to come and address them with the group. That's the bottom line.
Yes, it is.
We tried it man's way, and that never works out.
Never.
Man is self-serving, too greedy, too power-hungry, and what we've got in this country today is total animosity against anything that is of a Christian or biblical nature because this government has gotten so big that it's like the old days with Caesar. When Caesar is in total control and that's big government, you worship at the altar of Caesar. They cannot have the competition of the God creator of the universe, so they're trying to stamp that out. Well, I got news for that. He's still in charge, and there's no way they're going to stamp it out, no matter how they try. But if we start using biblical principles again and start energizing we the people, which is how this country was formed, we have the freedom to choose our leaders. We have the responsibility to choose our leaders. We were formed by the founding fathers who laid it all on the line, their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, to escape tyranny. And as a result, they created the greatest country in the history of the world, and then countless generations of veterans.
And on that note, we will take a short break. You are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman. Our show is from 8 to 10 every Tuesday evening with Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks. Please visit us on Red State Talk Radio on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And visit our websites, agenda21today.com, KarenSchoen.com, VoteKarenSchoen.com, Save America Foundation, Panhandle Patriots, and I hope I didn't leave anyone out. Thank you all for listening. You're listening to us this evening, and our guest is Art Ailey, and he has just been describing a wonderful, wonderful program that incorporates the churches back into the political arena, because, folks, our founders never meant that God should be out of politics. They just did not want politics in God. They did not want to dictate the church of choice. They felt everyone should choose their church, and morality was the highest form of patriotism. And we have to bring that back. The saddest thing that I've been experiencing, Art, is in our schools, because this, I feel, is where the children who no longer can have a prayer or no longer reach out, or even children that drew a Bible or mentioned the word God was expelled. When we start doing this as a society, we're going to be seeing many, many, many more of those horrible shootings in schools, because children are frustrated and they have no place to turn. They have no spiritual guidance. They have no guidance within themselves. They're not secure in themselves. They feel that they can't make decisions. They are confused, and that's being done to them on purpose. So it's just wonderful to know that the churches are receptive, and it gives us tremendous hope. And I'll get off my soapbox.
All right. Well, that's one that you need to stay on, for sure. But, you know, even during the War for Independence, it was led that war.
Yes.
The pastors led. However, it was still only a minority of the pastors. Most did not want to get involved. In one of the biblical principles that I try to drill home at these various events is we got to get over this thing that we need a majority. No, we don't. In Scripture, God never used, wanted, or even cared for having a majority. He doesn't need a majority. Actually, if he's in this fight, we win. And God are a majority. You and God are a majority if he's in it. But if he's in it, we're going to have to do it his way. And we've gotten so caught up in doing it man's way. And that has been called now politics. But until we get back to the biblical principles we were founded on, we are wasting our time. And we need leaders, not that are conservative and will usually do the right thing. We need leaders sold out to biblical principles, where they will make their decision on principle, not on political expediency. It's going to take quite an effort to get this done, but if we don't start now, I'm afraid we can kiss America goodbye. It may already be too late, but even if it is, we're going to go down fighting. But all we're trying to do is wake up So we, the people that this nation was founded upon, where all the actual power resides, because we can vote those guys out anytime we want. We have been disengaged.
And you know what? Right. We are starting to do that because Eric Cantor just lost his primary to Tea Party challenger David Bratt. And that is the beginning. Let us use that as the tipping point, that the pendulum is swinging back in the direction of sanity. Maybe with the elimination of some of these establishment mouthpieces, we will have a chance to do the right thing and bring back our government, because the morality is so lacking. It's mind-blowing. I asked a group of people at one time if they had children, and, oh, yes, it was a group of Democrats. I asked them if they had children, and they said yes. And I said, well, do you allow your children to lie to you? Do you think that that's okay? Oh, no, not at all. They're not going to have any lies. They won't handle that. And I said, well, then how can you accept a president that you know is lying? What kind of a role model is that? No answer.
Yeah, but Karen, it's just not him, though. That's the terrible thing about it is that, you know, and it's the local governments have become power brokers for their wealth. State governments are, corrupt, lawbreakers. And then our federal government, of course, is the biggest criminal. Yeah, they are so close to a mafia-style operation in Washington, D.C., that, you know, the president just happens to be the kingpin in charge, and he's the guy that's handing out the edicts and the orders. But all of his soldiers underneath him in the Congress and the people that are supposed to be our representatives, they allow it, Karen. I mean, they know he's a lawbreaker, but they are also, you know, it's about their power, their greed, and that's the thing that is not Christian, that's the thing that is not religious, and if we don't put those principles, we have a guy, we have a wonderful guy, and that's what our founders and a lot of the steps of the Constitution, you know, the Bill of Rights in itself. Look, we're going to spell out the rights of the people so that they will be able to hold on to them. And we, in a lot of our churches, a lot of good Christian Americans have given up hope because it has gotten so corrupt, so immoral. And they don't vote. They don't register to vote because they don't think their voice is being heard. And they're correct today. But we are guiding, and that's what Art, I mean, this is a wonderful thing, Art, that you're doing. It is a guide, and let's hope that it would become a standard that people could model in the rest of the states. And, yeah, there are a lot of movements across the entire United States, but we need to have a unifying voice under one creator because that is the foundation of America. And we can't restore it without doing that. And when we do that and we convince our fellow Christian Americans that, yes, we have God-given principles, we know what they are, but the one thing that you have to do now while we're on this brink of totally losing our nation is you have to register, you have to vote your principles as a Christian American. And if you'll do that, if you'll elect principled candidates, American can be restored. And look, you know, I always say we have to be willing to commit to the same thing that the communists have been willing to do. You know, they were willing to take 100 years to bring us to this destructive brink. So we have to have that same commitment. And even if they have their victories time in and time again, you know, we witness the everything that we see that they're doing by design to hold on to their power. It's a man-created power. It is not a God-created power. It's a man-created power. So we have a master who has given us, and he led our founders to his design. And if we will go back to that design and start to stand up and say, no more, I'm going to stand on firm principles, of my Creator, then we've got a chance, folks.
Yep.
That's
so I have another question for you, Art, if you don't mind. You are in the financial business. We are in a financial mess. What do you suggest that people do? That's a tough question, huh?
Number one, I mean, we are hanging by a very thin thread, and I believe we're actually following lockstep the model that was outlined in Germany before Hitler came into power.
Yeah.
What it's going to take is a catastrophic economic event, because unfortunately, Americans are so tied to their money and possessions that if it all really collapses, and this could happen with just one little spark, then they're going to be of a mood, enslave me but feed me. That is going to be, I believe, the trigger that could take this over the edge. People have no clue how deep in debt we are. We just use words. You know, I do seminars on the coming economic earthquake across the country. One word that we use that has no meaning in our ability to comprehend is the word trillion.
Yeah.
You can't comprehend how big that is, so I try to make it real with an example. If you had a machine that printed $1 every second, nonstop, 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, nonstop, a dollar, bam, 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 bam. You know how long it would take to print $1 trillion?
Oh.
How long?
Some astronomical, like 30-something years?
31,710 years for $1
okay.
trillion. Wow.
I knew there was a three in there somewhere.
Yeah, you were right. But, you know, this debt can never be repaid, and they're not even attempting. They're just increasing it. And I think you mentioned a lot of this has been very purposeful. War is actually spiritual. And that's who's driving this thing. That's who's always driving it. And America is the very last defender of Western civilization. We fall, and it's over.
Uh-huh.
It is over, and it will not be recovered for hundreds of years. But, you know, something was said as we were talking here about, you know, leadership is key. We're the ones that elect the leaders. Godly people, first you got to have good candidates.
Right.
There's a lot of solid Bible-believing Christians who might be tempted to run for public office if they felt they had some support and didn't have to raise $1 million to buy the seat. Well, we're hoping this infrastructure will negate the fact that money buys elections, because money doesn't vote, people vote.
That is exactly how I'm running my campaign. I'm running for office. That's exactly what I'm saying. They called me up from one of the newspapers, and they're discounting me because I don't have a huge bankroll. My opponent has $250,000, and I have probably $4,000. So
you have
the right message. He said, you know, your opponent is gathering all of this funding. And I said, well, he's out there gathering the funding. I'm out there gathering the people. Because what
there
I'm finding is that he doesn't talk to anybody. That's what they're telling me.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that
we can do that
and show the people that you do not need gazillions of dollars. And that's what David Brecht just did. I believe Eric Cantor had outraised him for money something like 20-something times.
Yes,
so his war chest was a lot bigger.
Yes.
Well, something positive is happening. You know, the danger of these conversations is it's a lot negative, and it is bad. Things are bad. But on the other hand, you know, there's one more element that we're going to try to plug in here that we didn't talk about. So if I have a chance, I can share that if you'd like me to.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Well, we have a lot of Christians in public office today.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And yep. I have no doubt they're genuine, sincere Christians. But all of their training on that piece of their life, their public life, has come from the world, not from the church. So they make worldly political decisions. We're going to try to institute something called Ministers Together that was created in Pennsylvania by my friend Sam Rohr up there, who ran for actually governor last time. Ministers Together is another biblical principle. If we have genuine Christians and can get them in a room with a like number of pastors and get them to understand that God ordained the three primary pillars of our culture. He ordained the family, he ordained the church, and he ordained government. So taken to its logical conclusion, elected officials are every bit as much his ministers as the guys in the pulpit. So
yes.
These Christian office holders and candidates are going to be challenged to take a public pledge to make every decision while they're in office based on biblical principles, and we're going to challenge pastors to stand with them and be their support system 24/7. Should they be struggling with a decision and how biblical is it, what should I do? We've got to get back to the biblical, and then we're able to tell the people in the precincts, you know, who has taken this pledge, not who's the most popular, who's the biggest name, who's pretends to be a conservative and maybe is, but doesn't have the biblical compass. They're going to end up making bad decisions. So I'm excited about that as being the missing link for people to understand who they should vote for. But, you know, we the evangelical community alone has so much potent power that one statistic will bring that fact home, and that was, you know, Mitt Romney was not God's candidate for president.
No, he wasn't the people's candidate
either. We need a serious Bible-believing leader in this country. But he certainly was better than the alternative. And I don't mean to turn this political, but I'm trying to make a point. Obama carried the state of Florida, one of the four battleground states, by 73,000 votes in this last election. 73,000. Do you know how many evangelical Christians in the state of Florida either were not registered or did not vote in that election?
Oh, I would say quite a few, yes. That was a heavy-duty statistic. I remember that.
Kara, nearly 3 million.
Yeah.
Nearly 3 million. We're going to try to awaken that sleeping giant and take America back to we the people under biblical principles.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. I mean, it's inspiring, and it's a solution, and that's what Karen and I attempt to, you know, yes, the negative things are overwhelming, you know, but it is by design to divide us and to keep us from the truth of who we are as Americans, and that's inspirational art. That is something that we have to have every listener grasp. We have a voice. We have power that is sleeping. It has been at rest, and we haven't exercised the muscle that our God has given us, and today is our time. We have to do this. This is not something that we can put on the shelf and continue to wait and let someone else see what someone else is willing to do. This is it's a wonderful solution, Art. I'm inspired.
Well, John, I don't think we have 2 years left if we don't do something.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I think this.
Yeah.
And the economic crisis is ever looming, and I have a fear about that, Art. You know, these people have been in power so long, and they're so morally corrupt. They have no religious background. You know, yes, they're religious politicians. But I'm talking about the power, the true power brokers. You know, they could flip the switch on the economy at any given time. I mean, I fear that, because then the part that becomes helter-skelter when you have a society that has allowed itself to become so morally bankrupt, you know, what actions will people take in those economic the turmoil? You know, the Weimar Republic is a great example of where we're headed, you know. We have to get off the train.
You bet. You bet. There is hope, though, if we the people will rise up, but we've got to do it biblically. We cannot do it in some dominionist attitude, because then you still have man's faulty wisdom operating this thing. God told us how to do it. All we have to do is follow the rule book.
That's it. That is
it. Please encourage your listeners to go to that website, look up the events, show up. I mean, we have the top-tier speakers in America coming at sacrificial of their time to share with us in Florida how severe the problem is, and then we're going to give them a solution. But it won't do them any good if they don't show up in these various churches.
Yes. Well, how long has it been up and running, Art?
We've been 3 weekends now. We really haven't done any promotion. We're kicking it in now with a lot of email campaigns. I know American Family Association has signed on. They'll be emailing their database here in Florida. Florida Family Policy Council is going to be really blitzing. We've got an entire group of pastors that we've, over the last several years, developed that are going to be seeing it. In today's complex, busy, overload world, you got to stay in front of people to get their attention. So we're going to keep this thing going, and we're going to make sure that they at least know about these events. And if they'll show up, they're only 2 hours, but it will bless their socks out. And so far in these first 3 weeks, the one regret people had is that they didn't drag 10 of their friends along with them to equip them, because these have been just unbelievable events that you've got 3 different speakers with no coordination, and somehow God just blended it all together into a perfect symphony, and he's going to continue to do that. I just believe that to the bottom of my soul.
Good.
But the problem
I want to make sure Karen does have your contact information, huh, Art?
Well, the website is the key.
Okay.
GiveMeLibertyStore.com.
Yeah, I have a local radio show that I go on. I try to do with a friend of mine, and he does a 2-hour show, and it's aptly named Church and State. And it is put on a Christian broadcasting station here in Louisiana. And if I could get with Nathan, I'd sure love to have you come on with us, because I know that Nathan would appreciate it and he would grasp it. And it's something that maybe, you know, we can get some folks rounded up here in Louisiana, because there's a great outcry here in Louisiana of people with the same understanding that we have to do this through our God.
And we have to do it now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'd like to be able to contact you and see if I couldn't arrange for a telephone call into Church and State. I know Nathan would appreciate that, and I would, because it's inspirational. I think it's a great solution.
I'd love to do it, man. I'd love to do it. During the week, actually, I'm all over the state meeting with Tea Party groups to try to get some real enthusiasm generated. And there's an electric current that I just sense is starting. And once it starts, I think the people will start getting energized and start stepping up and quit sleeping through this thing while we're losing the greatest country in the history of the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
Well, appreciate the work you guys are doing. Karen does have our contact. I'd be glad to do that, John.
Okay, that sounds fantastic, Art. I'll touch base with Nathan, and I will make that happen.
You know what? Let me make one more comment, if I can.
Okay.
You all familiar with K. Carl Smith?
No, I'm not.
K. Carl Smith, I've just recently met him. He is a black man who gets it, and he has written a book on his testimony of how he finally woke up. And the book is called Frederick Douglass Republican. That eliminates this race card everybody keeps playing, because we're not black, we're not white, we're people, we're brothers and sisters on this planet. But he makes it very clear in his book, and I'm going to hand a pamphlet out to every person that attends these rallies that we're doing on these weekends. That gives his testimony of how he woke up one day and came to just an absolute moment of truth, where he finally realized he cannot be one thing in church on Sunday and another thing all during the week and be supporting and voting for people who are operating exactly opposite of his Christian worldview. And he finally came to grips with the fact that, the Republican Party, and I am a Republican, but I am heartsick over how that party's been hijacked. But the other party is so intent on dismantling this country that Kay Carl has a message, and he's on our speakers bureau. He's going to be at a couple of our events. But we're going to be handing out this Frederick Douglass Republican pamphlet to every person that attends, because it doesn't matter what color you are. The principles are the same. You cannot claim to be a Christian on Sunday and then make some of the decisions on choosing our leadership in this land that are totally opposite of what your Christian worldview is.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Is his pamphlet available online, or is there somewhere we could reach out and get it?
No, man, he sells it. But I bought, and I'm going to be getting it. I bought 5,000 initially, and we're going to keep buying them, because I want every person in this state to have them. If you call us, I'll send you one. It's just powerful. You can read it in 10 minutes.
That's good.
But he captures it, because Frederick Douglass was a giant. I mean, this guy was a slave that escaped. And he actually was an architect of the establishing of the Republican Party. He's the guy that transformed Abraham's Lincoln's kind of view of being neutral to pro-slavery to being an abolitionist. This guy was brilliant, and he had real values, unlike what's being foisted upon the majority of Americans today. It is a powerful testimony that hopefully every person in this state is going to read, and hopefully in the country. But I'll just send you one. Just give us a call.
Okay, good deal. All right.
Do we have
Karen,
time for a quick call?
Yeah, go ahead.
Karen, I'm not sending you one. I'm just going to send John one. No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead, Sally. Let's take a caller.
Okay, caller. Last four digits, 0530. Can we get your name, please, caller?
Hello.
0530.
0530 is me, Karen. Hello.
Oh,
yeah, storm. I got knocked off.
Oh,
it's Karen.
I've been glad to have you back, Karen.
You turned the mic
me up.
So quiet without me, you hardly missed me. You didn't even know
well,
I was
have
bad.
Well, I kind of thought you might have been.
Sorry about that. There's a lot of the same area code out there tonight.
Oh, that's so funny.
Okay,
but
anyway, I did
want to ask you a question, and I know we got off on a tangent before, but what can we recommend that the people can do to safeguard, or, you know, what I just read today that Russia is really going to be devaluing the dollar. They're getting finished with the dollar. All of the indicators are there. We're going to have a major mess. What do you recommend that people should do?
Keep your eyes open. You know, that is a business I'm in. So far, this whole thing has been propped up, I think, for political reasons. But sooner or later, the wheels are going to come off. And when they do, you want to be flexible enough in your investment portfolio. I think the greatest risk we have is hyperinflation like we've never dreamed of, which means our dollar isn't going to buy anything. So you will want a good portion of your investments in areas that are going to ride that inflation elevator. You know, everybody's been touting precious metals. Be careful there, because whenever you see 9 ads an hour on TV for any investment, stay away from it.
Yeah,
we'll want to have a little
good
bit
point.
Of precious, well, a little bit of precious metals. But the thing that excites me is agriculture. You know, it's a limited commodity. You've got a world that's exploding in population. You've got third world countries that are getting wealthier and wealthier, which means their population are going to be eating better and better, which is going to put a strain on the agricultural products. And all that means is the price is going to skyrocket. For fixed income, you know, I am not an advocate of debt or the federal government, but there are inflation tips, Treasury inflation protected bonds that will go up in value when inflation goes up in value. You're going to want to be on that elevator a little bit. You're going to want to be diversified, because there's nobody that knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
No.
Although some people would try to tell you that. And you're going to want to be totally out of debt, because if you're out of debt and you have a house paid for and no debts at all, you can live on very little money.
Right.
It's the debt. It's the debt
Very
that requires
point.
That we have to earn a lot.
Folks,
so be prepared.
Invest in your
be
house.
Prepared.
That's true.
Well, but get it paid off as soon as you can. Accelerate your mortgage. Try to get totally out of debt, and then you're in a position, you know. And bottom line, you know, if it all collapses, we're all going to probably lose almost everything.
Uh-huh.
The one thing we can never lose is our relationship with the Lord. That trumps everything. You know, most of the world is in that shape now. We've just been in this prosperity bubble, and we think it'll be total disaster if we lose it all. Now, I won't like losing it all. Don't get me wrong. But if we do, so what? As long
there
as
you go.
You're healthy, your family is right, and your relationship with God is solid, they can never take that away from you.
That's the truth.
That is absolutely the truth. No, that's okay. Why don't you you have a financial website to anyone that would like to have some advice and maybe do some you know, talking to you about the future and what your suggestions are? Do you have a website?
Well, sure. 20 years ago, we launched a biblically responsible mutual fund family called the Timothy Plan. That's us.
Okay.
We're 20 years old. We have 13 different funds. And a couple of years ago, I got real concerned, because I feel responsible for our shareholders.
Yes.
And we launched a defensive strategies fund, which does allow people to shift around in case the wheels start coming off to get on that elevator rod I was talking about. But, yeah, you can go to timothyplan.com. You can call and ask for free information, 1-800-TIM-PLAN. We've got a whole staff there that will be glad to answer any questions you have. You know, it is a mutual fund family, but it is a biblically based mutual fund family. We will not invest in companies that are promoting an unholy agenda, that are funding, whether it's abortion, pornography, active promotion of the homosexual agenda. If they're promoting that, we won't own them. Most politically incorrect thing I could have said tonight, but that's okay. because
no, sir, that's not politically. Hey, that is that's the biblically.
That's
right. That's biblically correct.
We stand on scripture. That's exactly right.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a homophobe, but we won't own companies promoting the agenda. God gave us free will. If you whatever you want to do in the privacy of your own bedroom, that's your problem. But just don't bring it into the public square and try to foist it on the rest of us. And that's where we draw the line.
That was exactly the way I answered a reporter's question when she asked me what would I push for the marriage license for same-sex couples. And I said, why is it any business of mine what anybody does in their bedroom? Why do I care? Why are you trying to push it upon me? And in reality, it's all about taxes anyway. So marriage is marriage, and a union is a union. And if they want to do whatever they want to do, who cares? We have so many more important things that are so much more important that unite us. Why try to pick something that's going to divide us? If we need
I don't think that they, you know, they really don't recognize, Karen, their role. And how their role has matched the communist agenda.
No, they don't. You're right.
No, and because, you know, when it is spelled out in the 45 steps to achieve a communist America, that one of the things is that we would accept homosexuality and to have a nation that would allow homosexuality and not speak out against it, well then, hey, you have fallen into the agenda. Don't sell it to me. I'm going to stand on the principles of the Bible. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, John, one of our speakers is Curtis Bowers.
We've had Curtis on our show. He did Agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks, for those of you that don't know, he did Agenda Grinding Down America, which I believe John and Karen, that is how we met, because when John and I were talking and we came together during the Gulf crisis, that's how we formed our radio station, because John is in Louisiana, we're in Florida, and we were talking about all of the things that were going on in the Gulf, and John told me that if I really wanted to know what was going on, I should get that movie. So please tell Curtis.
Yeah.
Tell him that John and Karen say hello.
And
we had several of our events as well. We had events throughout the state put on by the Agenders, where we introduced people to Agenda 21, and I am proud to say that we are actually high up there on the Southern Poverty Law Center watch list for terrorist patriots.
Good for you. Good for you.
Exactly.
Well, actually, Curtis is on this weekend's team, so he'll be here this weekend.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'll
tell you what, he's a dynamic, powerful speaker. We've had him in Louisiana, and I've recommended him to every patriot group over here. Because you want to get a firm grip of the history. And that's the thing. Folks got to recognize this is a design, and it's being done to us, but we're allowing it. We can stop it.
We the people.
Where is the event going to be this weekend?
Well, we're going to do this. We're taking Sunday night off because it's Father's Day. But we'll be in Lakato on Friday night and DeLand on Saturday night. But if you go to the website, it has the exact location.
Okay, and tell everyone the website again.
It is Give Me Liberty Tour, all together, GiveMeLibertyTour.com. And you click on, it's a very simple website. It's got our mission statement, but it also has a calendar that shows every event. And if you click on the event and poster, you'll see which speakers we have, because every speaker, we got 20 of them, and they're all of the caliber of Curtis Bowers.
Wow. Wonderful.
That is wonderful. And for those of you folks that don't know Curtis, please go to Agenda Grinding Down America. That is his video, and he was a representative. He was in the House of Representatives when he uncovered what we have discovered and what we have been talking about, which is Agenda 21, the initiative, the United Nations initiative, to deliver all of us a one world government with a new world order. And what that means is no borders, one world, all of us living the same, like we live in third world countries, having nothing, working our little butts off, as we are all paying for this massive debt, unnecessary debt, because so much of it is cronyism, waste, fraud, and abuse. But as I
in
told,
a world and, free of God, Karen, that's you
and
know
a
that,
world
that's,
free of God is right.
Yeah.
Immorality is rampant. And Christine made a very interesting point, because when the communists came here, they realized, and this was in the 60s, they realized that they did not have to fight to take over a country. If
no.
they preyed upon the children, preyed upon the morality, and fed the people the drugs, that eventually the moral fiber and culture of a country will break down. So they have applied Cloward and Piven, remember, overload the system, to every single facet of every program that we have, so that in the end they have none of these programs have any hope of working. Because if they worked, and if they actually did what they said they were going to do, my goodness, the people would wake up one morning and realize they didn't need the government. So therefore, none of these programs will work, so that you continue to need them. They continue to be the enablers. They have to be the ones to feed you. They have to be the ones to clothe you, to take care of you. So this is a wonderful, wonderful program that Art and his group are putting on. Please go to the website. And the website is?
GiveMeLibertyTour.com.
Okay.
Excellent.
That is perfect. And it is a wonderful title for a perfect tour, because that's really, folks, what this is all about. What we are facing now is the absolute loss, and Art said it perfectly, if we do not turn this ship around, it's going to sink. And there is no way to get it up once it's down there. And things are going to get worse and worse and worse, when they could be getting better and better and better. If you're at the bottom, you have only one way to go, and that's up.
So that's right.
I don't think we've reached the bottom yet. But that doesn't mean we can't turn around and say, nah, I don't want to go down there.
Yeah.
Well, there is still hope, but it's getting very slim.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But
you know,
thank goodness. What is the reception of the people when they leave? Are they engaged? Will they go out and talk?
We just challenge them. If they want to be members of the precinct teams, register on a card, and every person is stepping up and handing in the card.
That
we don't want them if they don't want to do it, but they're getting it. They know how close we are. And if they didn't know when they came in, they're sure going to know at the end of 2 hours what the real situation is, not this problem we're being fed by the mainstream media and Washington and all the rest. We're in a mess. And somebody... You know, my big concern is I don't want to have to answer my grandchildren's question. Why do something?
Yeah, I have shared that, Art, every time I go to give a speech anywhere. That is the because I have a lot of folks that ask me, you know, why are you so driven? Why does it never leave your conversation? And that's why. That's exactly the reason.
You bet.
I fear not for myself, but for my children and my grandbabies. And
you
I'm
bet.
Just
Absolutely.
Not going to allow this to happen without a battle.
Absolutely.
Not on our watch.
And that's
there
right. I just had a conversation with my legislators today. And I said, you know, the problem I believe with you guys is you're much younger than I am. I remember sitting around the dinner table. I remember my cousins coming over for a holiday dinner, having their arms tattooed. I remember these conversations. I remember what they said. The culture today doesn't remember because our books have been destroyed, which is another point, which I wanted to say on the radio. This, we have found out that the schools are destroying the old textbooks and they're replacing them with the Common Core garbage. Don't allow your district to destroy the textbooks. Find a place to store them, because once those books are gone, that history will be rewritten, and that's not what we want to happen. Give them out to the people in the community. Let them be the purveyors of our American history.
Absolutely.
It is so important. And when they tell you, no, we can't give them to you, you remind them that you are the taxpayer who paid for that book. And they have every right to give it to you. It should not be destroyed. I am very, very, very concerned about districts who are going totally digital, because the history can be changed at the flick of a delete button. And this is very, very serious.
I wish it was just districts, Karen, it's entire states. You know, that's the thing with Common Core. It's the entire state education system and 45 states that have, selected it and are implementing it. And some of most, unfortunately, the states that think the citizens think they've turned it around are actually accepting the same thing, just under a new name.
Yes, that's what they think in Florida. However, Oklahoma, we are very proud to say Oklahoma and South Carolina, yay for you, Nikki Haley. Notice two women. I'm going to toot that horn for a minute. Mary Fallon in Oklahoma and Nikki Haley in South Carolina said, not on my watch, and they both signed very wonderful bills that will eliminate Common Core, not change the name, folks, but eliminate Common Core, and that is wonderful. So they shall be the role models for a successful education.
May have Governor Bobby Jindal doing that here. Because we couldn't get it done. He is leaning that way, Karen. We couldn't get it done in our legislative process, and that was very disheartening, but our governor is listening, and hopefully he'll...
John, that is wonderful. I remember last year when he was adamantly opposed to even listening. This is fabulous.
No, he's listening now.
He's listening now. That is really
good.
Really,
I think
wonderful.
His presidential bid is behind him, and he recognizes it. And that's the reality and the truth of who he is. He is a politician, and he knows that if he's going to have any hope of anything, that it'll probably be another political office, and he'll have to be elected by the citizens of Louisiana, and he understands that this is something that we are going to back. You know, Common Core is going to leave Louisiana.
That is fabulous. That is absolutely
Karen.
Terrific. Well, that'll be another state. Yes.
We have a caller from Los Angeles, but it doesn't look like it was our other guest, they do want to join the conversation.
Absolutely. Please introduce yourself, and you're from Los Angeles. How exciting.
Yes, last four digits, 7300.
Yes, my name is Miss Johnson. I'm one of the new feet on the street. I'm giving a shout-out to Dr. Marks.
Oh, I don't think he appeared.
Did he
today.
Come on tonight?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't
coming
on tonight,
Marks,
but it's not. Maybe
so
next week.
That everyone knows, Dr. Marks was a podiatrist who is now a political cartoonist.
Yes, ma'am.
And unfortunately, he does marvelous work, and he can be found at Dr. Footsie, FOOTSIE.org, and see some of his work. He does a fabulous job. So unfortunately, he's not with us this evening, but tune in next week, and maybe he will be with us then.
Thank you very much, Karen. Have a nice evening.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Should have asked her how she was doing in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the land of fruits and nuts?
Let me thank you for having me on. I do need to run.
Oh,
okay.
Art, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Art. It's inspirational.
We will even accept people from Louisiana if they want to come to one of our events.
Fantastic. I'll give you a shout-out when I get that way, because I go to Florida pretty frequently.
I will send John your information, Art, and I will be in touch with you tomorrow.
Yeah, call and we'll send you one of these Frederick Douglass pamphlets. You're going to love it.
Oh,
excellent.
I have one. I know Keith. I know Keith Hall.
I can't
yes,
wait to
fabulous,
get
fabulous, 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 fabulous man. I love him.
Okay, guys. Keep
all
up
right.
the good work.
Thank you so
oh, yes.
much, and thank,
thank
you for everything that you're doing.
God bless you, Art.
Okay, you too. God bless. Bye.
Well, that is very, very encouraging, folks, to realize John in the churches. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah. And how
this
many times we
really
said
hopeful.
That's the solution? Huh?
Yes. How many times we said that this is not going to work until the churches get engaged and people go back to God? Isn't this wonderful?
It is.
It's just so, it makes you really be hopeful.
Yeah, it is.
No, like one at a time,
that's,
but
that's
it
the
is.
Thing. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful, and I'm just hoping that we can use that as a model for the rest of the states, huh? And, you know, it's like I said, it's inspirational.
Yes.
Not a lot of things that, you know, I don't know, there are a lot of things, and it's just, it's the fact that possibly we could come up with something that could unite the nation, you know, I mean, if this is something that, and I do, I have an overwhelming inside of my body sense that this is going to be wonderful for the state of Florida. And it will be something that the rest of the nation can look at and say, look what we can do when we go back to the message of God.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's an American message, huh? Isn't that neat?
That is. That is an American message. That should be an American message. And I think, I really, really believe that once that message begins to resonate deeper and people actually realize that they can mention, you know, America in church, and their 501c3 won't be taken away, from the thought police.
Yeah.
Once they realize that these are things that they can do, I think it will be the beginning of doing. And that's what we've been talking about, the action part, how important it is for people to act. We can't sit in our homes anymore and do nothing. That's how.
Well, now we've got. Yeah, and now we've got another little piece of proof of that, huh? When the people get inspired and the people take action, we can unseat Eric Cantor. Wow.
Yes. Wow. That is a huge wow. That one was the biggest. Made my day. 26 times income Eric Cantor collected over David Bratt.
Wow.
26 times. Folks, that is a lot of money. Eric Cantor probably had in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And
mm-hmm.
that should be a lesson to all of us. It is not the money. Money
nope,
is not going to fix this problem.
Nope.
We have
draw
to
our
talk
voices both.
To each other. And
yep.
get back to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
get door to door, folks. Get door to door. Get in every precinct and share the message that, yes, I need you. I need my neighbors. We have to register. We cannot wait any longer. This is the brink. We are on the brink, and today is the day to make that commitment. If you don't know your neighbor, make it a point. You know, but find out, you know, who are the people that aren't registered to vote and share with them the absolute need and what can be done when we unite as American citizens. We can turn this nation around. We can restore the power back to the people.
Absolutely.
And the tyrants will have to leave.
You know, our founding fathers understood the power of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And when people talk about that, they forget that the concept was that incredible individuals will work together with other incredible individuals. It wasn't that you were supposed to go out there and be the best you could be all by yourself. If you wanted to be all by yourself, you could be all by yourself. But there is a time when incredible individuals have to come together, and now is that time.
Yeah.
And think of all the wonderful things we will be able to do by just that one small victory. That was the first domino, guys. You know what? He beat him by 11 points. 11
wow.
points. That wasn't even
wow.
a little, razor edge thin margin of, oh, my goodness, I'm biting my nails. 11
yeah.
points.
And just today I heard a Washington insider on the Sean Hannity show on the radio saying that it looked like Mr. Cantor would be a shoe-in.
Yes.
Sorry.
So wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Wishful
so the Washington Insider's got a surprise today.
Yes,
the,
he now
the
knows
people
what it's
have
like
been
to,
hurt.
That's right. He now knows what it's like to be standing on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, really good. And this is a lesson to everyone about money. I'm serious. It does not take a lot of money to run a campaign. It does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of talking. It does take a lot of brainstorming, and it does take a wonderful team of people, but it doesn't take a lot of money.
People
citizens, power.
Just the folks. You know, when us folks, when we unite, that is, you know, it always goes back. You know, when we look at the founding of this nation, you know, the 4% of the guys that said, hey, we're not putting up with the king, were able to mount a revolution for independence.
You know what, John? Lesson for today. Everybody should go reread the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely.
Because if you take out King George III and put in Barack Obama, there's very little difference.
You know, Karen, I've already done, I did that a while back because I had someone that put me to the test. And I said, well, you know what? I can write the document identical to the Declaration of Independence and apply the same grievances that our founders handed to the king. And we are living in the same tyranny, and we're accepting it. But we're accepting it no more. We are finding solutions. That's what this show is about, truth and solutions. You want to know what American Freedom Watch is? Sharing the truth, finding and building solutions to restore our nation.
Well, it's an exciting day, and it's a
mm-hmm.
great close to a beautiful day, and it couldn't have ended more fantastically. And I think the American people are waking up, getting away from being the silent majority. And as we heard, we are speaking now about politics and religion. So we are breaking down those PC barriers. And I think, John, you're right. The American people have decided they're not going to take it anymore. Now, don't get discouraged, folks. There'll be some ups and downs. There'll be some wins and losses. But what this proves is that when we put our mind to it, we can win. We can beat an incumbent. We can beat a big government guy, and we can say no more. So
absolutely. All right, Karen, we're at our hard break there, sweetie.
Yes, we are. And, John, if you could give me a call at your convenience. Are
yes,
you
ma'am.
On the rig?
No, ma'am. I'm at home. I came in today.
Oh, terrific. Okay. Give me a call tomorrow at your convenience. And
Miss
Sally, it's time to say good night. And to all our wonderful listeners, it's time to say good night. You were listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, and on redstatetalkradio.com. your hosts tonight, Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks, and our guests were Christine Timmons and Arthur Ailey. We hope you enjoyed the show, and today has been a wonderful day. Eric Cantor and the establishment have been defeated, but remember, folks, this is only the first battle. There's a big war going on out there, and we're going to fight it with our voter cards. So get engaged, because that's the only thing that's going to help. God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night, John. Good night, Sally.
All right. Thank you, Sally. God bless you.
God bless you.